today is Thursday, which means we're bringing you Girls at Startup, a weekly series where we spill the tea on how to create a seven-figure side hustle because no one saves their way to wealth. You're joined today by Sim, a seven-figure business owner, and with me is Maya, a solopreneur. Hello, Maya.
Kia ora, Sim.
This week is a really interesting topic because we're taking a bit of a journey down memory lane to 2020, and we're talking about my first year in business when Sim was, I call her baby Sim. Girls at Invest was an idea I had, and I was like, let's start this thing. I'm going to be talking about my experiences, the things I did wrong, the things I did right, and what, in hindsight, I wish I had just been told so that my first year could have gone so much smoother, because God, it was like a bumpy road. And I'm just here with like those road rollers, you know, the ones that flatten the roads. I'm just here to steamroll that stuff, make it easy for you, because I just believe the path should not be as bumpy.
Perfect. I love these kinds of episodes, learning from your experiences, your mistakes. Let's start off with some, what do you wish you knew in your first year of running Girls That Invest?
Let me set the scene. It was 2020. COVID had happened. I had worked in my new city that I was living in for a month. Mm-hmm. I moved in February. And then in March, I moved out because we all had to go home and go into lockdown.
Yes.
And the week prior to that, the 13th of March, I think it was, or a little bit earlier, the market had dropped and everyone at work was freaking out. And I was like, I need to create something. I need to make a resource where I talk about like why shares dropping is actually a really good thing, because all my colleagues like don't seem to see it that way. So I had this idea. Mm-hmm. My first mistake was humming and hawing about things that didn't matter. So I remember going into lockdown, going into my house, my parents' house, and spending hours like everyone else was learning how to make sourdough. They were painting. I did a little bit of painting. My family were relaxing. God, I think my brother was just outside playing basketball for like 3 weeks straight. He had like one hoop.
His bliss.
His bliss. He's a simple man. And I spent hours upon hours making a website for Girls That Invest. Does a website take hours? No. But I was like, what if the design does this? What if these are the colors? And I spent like 80% of my time trying to make a beautiful website whilst having absolutely no idea what my business was going to be about, what it looked like. I couldn't put words on the website because I didn't know what the website was going to be.
Okay.
We didn't have a podcast. We didn't have an Instagram. We didn't have, oh no, I'd made an Instagram and I'd made a Facebook group, but I was like, what's the mission? I don't know. But I felt like I was being productive. And so my first mistake mm-hmm. was doing things that felt productive, but were not productive whatsoever.
Mm, like doing the, not fancy things, but the typical businessy things, like setting up my website and registering for GST and all of those kinds of things where you're like, wait, what's my mission?
Wait, what's the purpose of this? I think I just like got excited and yeah, just spent way too long doing it. And guess what? I didn't even use that website in the end. It was like a crappy website. And I just had fun feeling busy without like being productive.
Okay. First lesson is know your mission.
I would say my first lesson is know your mission, but more importantly, don't waste so much time doing things that feel good when realistically there are other things that you should be doing in your business.
I know that.
We've been there.
Yeah.
The hours spent on like making a beautiful, like
the fun, fluffy things.
The fun, fluffy things. And that stuff didn't matter. I could have spent that time talking to people going like, hey, I'm starting this company called Girls That Invest. What would you want to learn? What are you looking for? What's interesting to you? And doing like market research. And then I would have known what to put on my website because I know what people need.
That makes sense.
So that was the first one. The second mistake I think I made with Girls That Invest was, I guess in hindsight, I don't know if I would have done it differently at the time. Like I didn't realize it was going to be as successful as it was. So I didn't register it as a company. I did it as a sole trader.
Okay.
So it was just me, myself. So in New Zealand, but also like anywhere in the world, there are 2 to 3 ways that you can run a business. You can either be a sole proprietor or sole trader. That's what we call them in New Zealand, where you're just an individual person and you pay your tax at the end of the year and you say, hey, as an individual person, this is how much money I made, and you get paid at your individual tax rate, which can go up to as high as 49% in some countries. Or you can create a company, a corporation that can be an LLC or an S Corp in the US or in Australia, New Zealand. It's just a limited liability company. And those cost $200 to make. And I was like, oh, that's too much money. I'll just be a sole trader. But when I made quite a bit of money in Girls That Invest in the second year, I had not made this a company. And so I think I brought in $200,000 or $300,000 that year, and I had to pay 39% tax on it, versus if I had put it in a company and paid 28% tax and only paid income tax on what I pulled out.
Right. So it's that long-term thinking.
I didn't know that it was going to do well. So I was like, why protect myself? Why make a company? So it was a mistake, but I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say if you have a side hustle, you should register as a company, because a company also has more responsibilities. You have to file company tax reports at the end of each year. You have to have an accountant. You have to do bookkeeping. So I wouldn't have done it any differently. And look, I paid the tax. It was fine. I don't lay at night thinking about it. But my accountant was like, you're an idiot. Why did you not create a company?
That's a good thing to mention, Sim, because I think a lot of people can be umming and ahhing about when to register their business, like when you start actually making money further on down the line. So it's good to hear your personal experience with that.
Thank you. My third mistake that I made is I was very shy and I really hid away and I did no self-promotion about the work I was doing. I remember a colleague of mine came over to my house one day, not you, Maya.
I was going to say, when did this happen? No.
Who? When? I think they were picking me up for like a work event and they were driving me. And I was like, oh, like come in, see my house, you know, as you do. And then I was like, yeah, this is my bedroom and this is my like kitchen. And they're like, oh, you have like a microphone in your bedroom. Are you a gamer? And I was like, yeah.
I'm imagining you being a gamer.
And I was so scared. I was like, yeah, no, I game. And I just like changed the subject and walked off. I was so scared to say, oh, I've got this thing I'm doing on the side that's called Girls That Invest, which is a podcast. And I talk about money because I didn't really, you know, get taught it. And I was so scared of it. And if anyone at work asked, I would be really shy. Like I was embarrassed that I had Girls That Invest for a whole year.
I get that though.
Yeah.
I get it. Even still now, like you're not going to like this in, but sometimes I shy away from letting people know that I'm on this podcast doing this really amazing, fun thing. And one of my passion projects as well, because it's like, you're a podcaster and this is like a super successful podcast. So I can only imagine how you felt within your first year and like, hey, you know, not many people would have been listening, or, you know, just that kind of initial stages of just being shy about it. How did you overcome that?
Yeah, you're right. I was so shy because a podcast that has no large media following, that is new, because I started the Instagram in March, podcast in August. How were people going to find it? I was lucky because I had good people in my life like Maya and my friend Pfizer and my friend Day. And these people would go and tell everyone in their lives like, oh my God, you need to hear this podcast. Pfizer's a doctor. And so I think I've said this story. There'd be in surgeries and like a surgery is like 10 people, I don't know, around a patient. And they'd be chatting because obviously you don't just do it in silence. Have you seen Grey's Anatomy? And like a doctor would be like, I really like need to manage my money better. And Pfizer would be like, I have a podcast for you. My friend does it. Her name's Simran. And you should check it out. And the doctor would be like, yeah, okay. And so my luck was that other people promoted me. And my luck was that other people believed in my company. But imagine if I didn't have that. No one would have heard about it because I wasn't going to be the person that spoke about it. I wasn't going to be the one that was like fine with it. What helped me get over that fear is realizing that I wasn't alone in this, because Patricia Bright, who is a YouTuber that I love, she is so amazing. She's like a British YouTuber and she talks about her YouTube journey. She's super successful. She has like millions of followers, like an OG, and she said that when she worked her 9-to-5 job, When her colleagues found out about her YouTube channel when she was starting it out, she deleted her YouTube channel.
No.
She was like, I was so ashamed. And now her YouTube channel like brings in millions. She's impacted so many people. Like, definitely check out her stuff, because you're like, wow, someone that had a good heart and a good mission and wanted to help people and was doing it for the right reasons, even she felt embarrassed that she was putting herself out there and putting herself online. So if she can feel embarrassed but still like push through and have this amazing outcome, my embarrassment or my shyness is not a sign that what I'm doing is wrong. It is not a sign that I'm being like, I don't know, overt or like out of control over the top. It is just a sign that I'm a human and I just need to push through it. And if it works out, fantastic. And if it doesn't, that's okay. But I think I still, to a degree, will always have a little fear of like, it's a little bit cringe. I like once had someone ask me, an old optometrist lecturer of all people, what do you do all day? And I just shut down. This was last week.
That is hilarious, because it's like, didn't you used to be an optometrist and now you're doing this? Like, what is it that you do? That is so funny, because it's just that generation or people who recognize a career that has like, is it brick and mortar, like physical things?
Yes.
A lot easier, and be like, oh, okay, cool. You're a builder. You do this. You're a podcaster. What is that? So you're just talking all day? Like, you run a media company and talk about investing? Like, how do you make money from that?
How do you make money from that? Exactly. So that was my third mistake. I wish I had enjoyed the process, because when I meet founders now and other industries like tech founders, or I don't know, like you meet them and you'll be like, what do you do? And they'll be like, I'm a tech founder. I'm disrupting like XYZ, and they've made $0 and they have no product and they have no service and they're still figuring it out. And by all intents and purposes, you're like, why are you proud? But at the same time, you're like, I wish that I was excited the way they are.
I know exactly what you mean, though, because you see people and you're like, you almost wish that you had their confidence to speak about your business and yourself with such confidence, especially in the early ages where you're like, yeah, cool, my mum and my three best friends listen to it. I'm a podcaster. Like, I'm good.
Oh, like, and you know, this is 2020. Like, we don't have these big podcasters who have carved out the space and I guess in a way made it more reputable. Back then, having a podcast was like, I'm a bum. And I bum around with my girlfriends and we put a microphone in front of us and we bum around and we talk about nonsense and no one cares.
Just chitter chat.
Dilly dally. And we call it a day.
It was definitely not as prominent to what podcasts are now today, 4 years later. Definitely not. Because I feel no shame in saying that I'm a podcaster and I do this amazing thing. But I get in 2020... I'm not sure I would feel the same way.
There was shame.
That I feel now.
There was a lot of shame. For business owners, every transaction is more than just a swipe of the card. It's the culmination of your hard work, dedication, and commitment to your customers. That's why I'm excited to share with you a game-changing solution that's simplifying the way businesses like yours accept payments. Introducing Tap to Pay on iPhone, powered by Stripe. Contactless payments has never been easier. You can seamlessly accept contactless payments directly from your iPhone, and the best part, there's no additional hardware required. Think about it. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe cater to businesses of all sizes, empowering them to accept payments right from their iPhones. It's a game changer for businesses looking to scale quickly and stay flexible, with quick setup that takes minutes, not days. So, how can Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe benefit your business? It's simple. Increased revenue, expanded reach, and enhanced customer experience. It's a win-win-win. To learn more about how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can transform your business, visit stripe.com/tapiphone today. My mum thought I run a blog. She couldn't explain it to other people.
Okay, our parents are different. They're from a completely different generation. They know what brick and mortar things are. Just quickly, Sim, how did you overcome this shame?
Do you want to hear my real answer?
Yes, always.
I was just like, look, people can judge me, but I am making such an impact and I'm helping so many people. And for every one judgment I get on the annoying days that I have to tell people what I do, I'm getting like 3 messages a day by people being like, oh my goodness, I needed this. Oh my goodness, this is so helpful. Oh wow, now I know how to invest. And I was like, in the real world, I'm ashamed. But online, I'm having so much fun.
And that's all that matters. Again, honing in on the impact you're making. It's that self-confidence again, isn't it? A little bit of DeLulu.
Yeah, a little bit of DeLulu. And I've learned to stop caring. I like read a really good book. It's called The Mountain Is You by Brianne West. And she said something on the lines that really stuck with me. And she said, it's a book about self-sabotage. And she said, it is not your job to be liked by everyone. And I was like, wait, what? But that's what I want.
What do you mean?
And it's okay if I tell people my job and they think it's not cool or they think it's cringe or they think I'm up myself because I like hearing the sound of my voice. Those things are not true, but they can think that and they can dislike me. And at the end of the day, they're not my customers and they're not my investors. And therefore, it does not matter.
They are not paying your bills. It doesn't matter.
And your business is not to be liked by everyone. Like, if you think of anything, Stanley Cups, they're just a drink bottle. And yet people love them and people hate them.
Honestly, I don't get the craze.
Maya hates them.
I don't hate them. I just don't understand how people have literal walls full of different colored Stanley Cups.
I think Stanley Cups for Gen Z are like what plants are for millennials. There's something like maternal about them because they're so big and you carry them around all day. I feel like I got gifted one from a conference. I wouldn't buy it, I guess.
So Sim hates Stanley Cups.
But I kind of like my Stanley Cup now. Like I carry my Stanley Cup around like I'm carrying like a little chihuahua.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it keeps your drinks cool. It keeps them warm. Yeah, fine. I love drinking my water literally any and everywhere. But I just don't get the craze of how people, yeah, I don't get it.
And someone might say that to me or you about our jobs. They're like, I just don't get why people care about this podcast and why these girls do it. But that's okay. There will be people that don't like what you do or don't understand it. I'm learning to care less.
That's good. There's something I heard James Corden say is that is none of my concern.
Ooh.
Yeah. As someone who cares a lot about a lot of things, I used to force myself to think I don't care, I don't care, I don't care, which sometimes was definitely not true. But reframing to this is none of my concern has helped so much because it's like, okay, this happened. Someone doesn't think what I'm doing is impactful or useful. That's actually none of my business. It's none of my concern.
How did you like use that? Like what's an example?
Just take, for instance, someone thinking that using a te ao Māori, an Indigenous perspective on health and well-being as being an impactful way of empowering people to take charge of their health and lead healthier lives. Someone was just like, that's irrelevant. You don't need to view things through an Indigenous lens or through a holistic lens. You know, there's just Western medicine and that's all. There's nothing wrong with Western medicine at all. But if someone said that to me or messaged me or commented that on Wellbeing with Maya, I would just think, that is none of my concern that you think that.
Has someone said that to you? Because that's like making my blood boil.
No, someone has not said that to me about what I'm doing. But currently in Aotearoa, our government is not really supportive of initiatives that are helping towards improving Māori health outcomes. And although that technically is my concern, you know, the hate comments and everyday people's opinions of thinking that it's a good thing that things have been cancelled or something like that, I'm like, that's actually none of my concern. Being upset and annoyed about your comment or your perspective is not conducive to me, my life, and what I want to do with it. So instead of letting that weigh me down, I just kind of visually let it flow through one ear out the other. Like, it's literally none of my concern.
Do you feel more empowered from that? Or like more at peace, rather?
I feel way more at peace. And as you can tell by how I'm explaining it now. I'll tell anyone who listens. Like, it has actually been really impactful. And I don't typically care what people think as a whole and the way that I live my life. But some things I do care a lot about. And yeah, it is none of my concern has served me very well.
Well, I think that is a beautiful place to wrap up the episode, because I am going to have to like keep repeating that. I definitely care what people say. I care what a lot of people say. I kind of care what everyone says. That's like 7 billion opinions.
Also, it's human nature. Like, to say that you don't care what people think is a lie. I care a lot about what my loved ones think of me, what the community online think of me, listeners and things like that, but also finding that balance with not letting it actually impact you and stop you from doing stuff that you love.
That is a beautiful way of putting it. Maya, thank you so much for this episode. I've really enjoyed it. There are 3 different things that I have definitely done wrong in my first year of business, but I hope that you are able to take away that, you know, don't focus so much time on feeling productive if it's not moving the needle of your business. Don't forget to register your company if you feel like you are going to make a lot of money. If not, being a sole proprietor is totally fine. And of course, be proud of what you're doing. You are allowed to enjoy it, and you should be confident, because having a company and the start of your startup is really like the newborn years. You will not get that back. And I really wish I had just embraced it and been more excited and wasn't like, oh yeah, haha, no, just, I'm literally just a gamer. Like, why? Why? But if you've enjoyed this episode, please let us know. Give us feedback. We actually do care about what you have to think, and it means so much to us. So good feedback, constructive feedback. If you hate it, let us know. We are making these. Maya and I are sitting down together every single week to make sure that you get something useful out of this, so that you can grow your wealth, so that you can join a community of financially independent people and create change in your lives. So please let us know how we can help in that. And if you've enjoyed the episode, take a screenshot, put it on your Instagram story, tag Girls That Invest. Helps us spread the message. And I'll see you soon, Maya.
Hey, Kuneda. See you later.
Bye.
And as always, to finish off with the disclaimer, Girls That Invest does not provide personalized investing advice for your individual needs. We are not financial advisors. The advice from Girls That Invest exists for educational purposes only and should not be relied upon to make an investment or financial decision. Advice from Girls That Invest is general in nature and does not consider your individual circumstances. Always do your research and please do your due diligence.